Hello, grandkids. Welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 780. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid Abdul Hadi. What is up, good sir?
Everything's going well, and nobody did a promo this week that I can talk about, but somebody did have a match that I can talk about. They smiled to my face. Oh.
Yeah, and it's the...
Last time I squashed just made me happy.
Yeah, if anyone doesn't know by that description, CM Punk really took a squash match L against Jon Moxley, and I've got to admit, I'm like, oh, I saw the result. Like, I tuned into Dynamite just as the pinfall was happening. I'm like, oh, this must have been a hell of a match. So I just got done watching it, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? Like, I guess I started to realize, was it the women's match before it? I'm like, man, this thing's going really long. How much time is in this CM Punk John Moxley match? Or, like, did I tune into this show later than I thought?
Yeah, see, if you didn't turn it begin, I realized something was up. When they made a big deal of announcing this is, you know, the biggest match in AEW history, but it wasn't the main event. So my first thought was, okay, it's going to be some shenanigans going on, somebody's going to interfere, and they'll have a real match to pay-per-view. No. This turned out like blood sport. CM Punk went out there, talked a whole bunch of trash, held the belt up for like a good minute. Just being an asshole in the ring. They start wrestling, and it's 95% Moxley. And then CM Punk does that kick and hurts his other foot. I just started laughing.
That's definitely some shenanigans in my book. I did not see, because I guess I'm assuming at this point that it's a worked injury.
Yeah, it seemed like it was some, this whole wish we show that we got the locker room under control stuff. We don't let one man run everything. Because it, one, the fact that they had the match on TV instead of a pay-per-view was a red flag to me in the first place. Because I'm like, unify the titles. These are two biggest stars. No build up. You're just gonna have the match next week. Like what? Like it made no sense when they first announced the match. So I figured something's gonna happen. And then the placement of the match. I was like, yeah, this match isn't gonna go the way you think. I was not expecting it just to be like Moxie just bulldozes him. And it seems like he's upset after doing it. Like it was a waste of his time.
I mean, it does kind of seem like a waste of his time. It's like you kind of burnt the Jon Moxley CM Punk match for that. I mean, I know that they can have a great match later down the road sometime when maybe the seas aren't as choppy as they are now, but.
Yeah, I know this whole they can have the real rematch in Chicago, but I'm like, yeah, they tried to. It goes back to last week, and I didn't talk to you about it because I was on the show, and CM Punk cut that weird promo, and it just reminded me why I don't have an issue with him. I just don't like his style of promo because it has the type of promo that excites people that are online. Because men are messy, especially men wrestling fans. And we like to be gossipy. And we like go, ooh, I can't believe you said that. Like, we're in the lunchroom. And I'm like, that's fine online and on Twitter. But I never listen to his promo. Like, I can't wait to see what happens in the ring. Like, he's talking a bunch of stuff that had nothing to do with the match. It just makes me roll my eyes. So when Moxley came in and say, you know, forget the talking. You're just going to fight. I'm like, good. And that crowd was very on Jon Moxley's side. And that's like AEW crowd, normally a CM Punk type crowd. And they turned on him.
Yeah. And I mean, that is the other thing that's just, to me, so wild about this situation. Like, CM Punk wins the bell, and Tony Khan's out here going, yeah, I mean, I brought him in for a reason. And it's just like, boy, that that reason went downhill very quickly.
Yeah, it's, I think it's part of who he beat, because it's kind of like Adam Page had that long build and people wanted him to get the belt. He finally gets the belt after it seemed like forever. And then as soon as he gets it, you're taking it off of him. It's that whole, well, AEW's different. We're here. The older talent is going to be here to establish the newer talent. And I didn't have an issue with CM Punk being champ, but it's kind of like it's the antithesis of what AEW was preaching. And then he wins and gets hurt. So he goes away. You think he's going to be like the conquering babyface when he finally returns. Was like, it was a two-part problem. One, Moxley was awesome as champ. And then two, CM Punk came back as a crybaby. Just whining about, oh, say it to my face and all this stuff and be a man. And that's why he's the third best member of the Shield. I'm like, him saying Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns is better than John Moxley on the insult, because I was like, they're better than you too.
Yes.
Like, and you're not wrestling them like, oh, you with Eddie Kingston, you the second best, that's the second best Kingston I've been around. I'm like, that's a nice lie. What does that have to do with the match that's going on? It's like you just digging at folks just to get your lies off because your feelings got hurt because Anna Page called you a locker room crybaby. And I have noticed, and I know a lot of people have been bringing it up, it seems like CM Punk is the type of person that has very thin skin. Like, he can dish it out and be all snarky, but when people dish it right back, he seems to not take it very well. And I noticed on Twitter, people posted that Triple H promo that he cut talking about that, about this whole, you only care about change if you want to be on top. They posted the John Cena promo, basically saying the same thing. And they posted an Adam Page promo that's basically like, it seems to be a pattern that these people basically saying, you care about change as long as it's benefiting you and you're a hypocrite. And he seems not to take that well.
Yeah, and that was kind of funny. That wasn't something that I had thought about his promos, what you mentioned, that most of them are, yeah, like they're, the memorable ones are like inside dirt promos, I guess is maybe the best shorthand for it.
Yes.
I did really like his stuff with the Straight Edge Society, so I do think that he cut good promos during that time period.
I agree.
But yeah, overall, I guess sometimes he is not the best at talking people into a match.
It's the type of thing, like, my issue with it is only he gets to do that. And it's basically like somebody beating Battletoads with a Game Genie and bragging that they beat it fair and square. No, you didn't. You didn't. You didn't beat it fair and square. You got to do stuff that other people don't do. And it's like, if you get to be all insidery and cut shoot promos and blah, 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 and everybody else around you has to, you know, have the restrictions that regular wrestling promos are, of course you're going to stand out. But that don't impress me. It's like, once I hit a certain age, I got tired of that. Like hype me up about the match. Stop talking about, you know, oh, such and such, not really this good, and if you would stop drinking, you'd be fine. Like, you know, especially it's kind of like, tell me when I'm lying and he's doing a whole bunch of lies. And like Moxie is like, you talking all that high mighty stuff. You only came back because you ran out of money. It's like, what do we like this whole, because he's like, you know, you here for the fans. I'm here for the money. That's the difference between us. Like, I mean, he was cutting a heel promo and he's supposed to be the babyface. That was the thing that's kind of throwing me off. And that seems to happen a lot with him. It's like, it's just weird. It's fine. Like, I like Moxie. I enjoy Moxie being a champ anyway. So him being an undisputed champ fits. Let Punk get healthy if he's not really healed all the way, or if he needs to rehabilitate his character because people think he's a locker room menace. That's also fine. I like how WWE basically said, that's your problem. We have no interest whatsoever. Like, no.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't see any reason for the WWE to have interest really at this juncture.
Yeah, like the man that's in charge was basically told by CM Punk that he wasn't good enough to have a match with Punk at WrestleMania. One thing about Triple H is he tends to have a memory about stuff like that. Like, he's not as petty as his father-in-law, but I wouldn't forget that. Nah, I wouldn't forget no insult like that. Oh, you too good to wrestle me? Like, me, Triple H? Like, I wrestled The Rock, but you can't wrestle me? Like, for real? I wrestled The Undertaker twice, but no, I'm not slumming wrestling you, Paul Levesque. Like, yeah, all right. Go have fun with Tony Khan and work that out, and hope they don't jump in the locker room.
Oh man.
It's just funny how wrestling goes. Like, I have heard bits and pieces about the whole locker room stuff, and the main things that seem to come out was with Eddie Kingston and Sammy Guevara, which
Oh.
is good, because if what allegedly happened. Then, yeah, you had to come in.
Oh, yeah, because I guess I didn't. I saw an apology today, and I'm like, what the hell went on this in the first place that this took place?
Yeah, apparently he made a comment about his body, and Jason made a comment with his fist. So,
Oh.
and it seemed like, I mean, I know it's a funny thing, because somebody posts like, why are people surprised, like, wrestling's like anywhere else, like, people don't get along. I'm like, yes and no. I don't get along with all my coworkers, but if I punch one of them in the face, I'm not just going to be home for like a week. Like, there's certain things that you want to do that you can't. Like, if you have a Roth IRA, there's certain things you can't do at the lunchroom. That's just something you accept. And wrestling is different, and everyone accepts that, so those things happen. And like you said before, people just had the idea like AEW would be different. And I'm like,
Oh.
why? Those Tony Khan is not Bill Watts. Like, it's always been a thing like that, and normally it's policed by veteran wrestlers. You didn't hear a lot about that in the WWE once you hit a certain point, because it's like, Undertaker was there. And it was like, he ain't letting that shit slide on his watch. And people made fun of that whole locker room general and stuff like that, but it's like, that helps when you need like a quote unquote adult. Whether he was
No.
always an adult or not is debatable, but like having somebody there that's like, all right, I'm not gonna do that because I know he can beat me up if I act out.
Yeah.
AEW has veterans, but they don't have anybody that has that gravitas to say, stop acting up, or I'm gonna choke you out. They don't got a Kurt Angle. They don't have an Undertaker. They're like, Mark Henry and Big Show aren't active wrestlers. I don't think they're in the locker room like that anyway.
Yeah, that would be pretty strange if they were, considering that both of them are pretty low profile at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Jericho is the OG, and he seems to be the type to like stand up for his friends. But he doesn't like the type where it's like, I'm going to keep the locker room in order. I don't think he's hands on like that.
Yeah, it'd be kind of surprising. Like, I guess you've never really heard anything like that out of Jericho, kind of being a locker room leader kind of guy.
Yeah, it's
Seems like
more of
he's
a.
okay with partying with the boys, but leadering is not,
More like, if I see something wrong, I will write it type thing. Like, you hear the story with Goldberg and the
Oh.
Randy Orton Lesnar thing, stuff like that. But beyond that was the extent of it. And I guess the other story is like, when Thunder Rosa dropped the title, that whole thing seemed weird. And then I heard there's a piece about it's some locker room stuff going on, and she felt threatened by coworkers. And it's funny the vibe, like, I never followed her that well, so I didn't know if this vibe online is like she's some type of like it seemed like this a loud substance on Twitter that paints her out to be a troublemaker. And I'm like, I don't know enough about her to come to that conclusion. It's sad, but look at how they booked her since she won the title. I don't blame her one bit. They booked her like garbage. I'm like, if you don't want her to be champ, don't have her be champ.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I've been on for a while now. It's just like, what? You had this big build to her not beating Britt Baker and being one of the few people to have beaten Baker in a match. So it made sense that she'd be the one to take the title, but whew, man, it's just been a disaster ever since that moment. And what was it? Oh, I couldn't believe that. Yeah, the one thing, and I guess I had heard about it before, and then someone called her out for sandbagging in a match. And I guess again, I'm kind of with you. I guess I don't know well enough to be able to say that she was doing that in a match.
Yeah, it's. I just keep getting the feeling like it's kind of like they never really wanted her to be champion, but they figured like people like they had to make a change. Look, if you love Britt Baker so much, just keep the belt on her. I'm like, that whole even watching now, I'm like they treat her like she's a champ, and she's not, and she's not good enough to get that Charlotte Flair treatment that they keep giving her, and adding that to the outside, like it's obnoxious. Like it has become an active turn off at this point when I see her. Like I want to literally turn the channel.
No.
And it has nothing to do with her personally. It's just the fact that it's just they are pushing her in a position that she should not be in, and it's holding back everybody. It seems like we keep having this conversation every time we talk about women wrestling at AEW.
Oh. Yeah, it's been kind of weird. Like I really liked Britt on the Indies. I saw her a couple of times. Yeah, but her presence on that roster has gotten to be just entirely too large.
Shane Douglas syndrome. I say that for a
Yeah.
reason, man. I tell people all the time, your division is always measured by the ceiling of your best wrestler or your champion. Her ceiling is what it is. We have evolved past that in women's wrestling. And AEW needs to as well. It's kind of like if you don't feel like Jade Cargo's ready, she needs more time, fine. I can actually see that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's got to be somebody else. It's like, what's the point of Ruby Soho being here if you don't you're not using her? Or she's gonna be like Eddie Kingston's sidekick?
Yeah, like almost all of the women have just that have come over, like going, oh yeah, we'll have greener pastures over here. Oof. Because yeah, Ruby Soho, Toni Storm has been put in a little better position, but oh man, her start has not been good at all.
Thunderstorm. At least the name, at least it's not like Stormfront. That can be real problematic. But I just laugh. It's like they're in this tag team, but she wants Thunder Rosa's belt, and Thunder Rosa knows it. But in the meantime, not only are they a tag team, they have a name. And I'm like, this is weird. Like everything about it is weird. It's kind of like it's this weird thing where AEW has a lot of women that kind of all like. I made a joke. You could put the Bunny, Anna Jay, Penelope Ford in front of me, and I couldn't tell you which is which. I'd have no clue if they
Yeah.
had their names in like a chyron there. And it's like you have a lot of women kind of like on the same level, and then you have women that can actually wrestle but won't get a chance for whatever reason. And then you have Japanese women who can also wrestle that won't get a chance. And then it's like in this own separate universe, you got Jade Cargill and the people she's wrestling. It's like she exists on like an alternate planet.
Yeah, it's really bizarre to have your secondary women's championship on someone that, like you said, like she's just on her own planet. And it's just like, It hasn't dawned on her, evidently, or Stokely Hathaway to go after the big championship. Like, it doesn't make them look any better, like not acknowledging kind of an elephant in the room.
It's like when Rob Van Dam was the TV champ and he was better than the world champs ECW had. It's kind of like, oh,
Oh.
it's the equivalent of the world title. No, it's not. Just because you said it with confidence, your style don't mean you're telling the truth. It's like, no. And I know ECW was doing it for a reason because it's kind of like they knew Rob Van Dam would be there, so they didn't have to put the title on him because it's whatever. I disagree with that because, like, if you know Rob Van Dam is there, you should put the title on him. Like, I can see it's different between not putting the title like an Eddie Guerrero because he's gonna be there for like 2 months and not putting on a lifer. Like, no, if you
Oh.
know they're gonna be there, put it on there. And the only excuse for Jade Cargill is like they may feel like she doesn't have enough experience, but sooner or later she's gonna have to cut a promo like, I'm ready to get the big belt.
Oh, yeah. Completely. And it just feels like, I guess you never know how much time is enough time. But she's had that TBS championship for kind of a good chunk of time, and it's just like she's got to be getting there, right? Like, it almost feels like what? I guess Braun Breaker is maybe the closest thing, where it's just like how there's so much star power there. How much development do you want to go with before you kind of waste the star power?
Yeah, and at least with Braun Breaker's excuse, it's kind of like they know they can take their time with him because he's so young and they
Oh.
don't want him to get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
But like Jade Cargill is not going to get lost. Like, she stands out way too much to get lost in any shuffle. And
Yes.
as we said before, damn well WWE has their eye on her.
Oh.
So you play around if you want, thinking you're just going to be able to do whatever you want. Because one thing, I haven't talked to you too much since you raised in charge. I don't remember if I did. Things have changed in WWE. And people who may not have gotten a chance, who may have left because Vince was in charge, those days are over. So I know there are plenty of people that's kind of like, Tony Khan, you keep messing with me if you want. My contract runs out. I have options that I actually would like to take. Not I have to hold my nose and go back. Because all you gotta do is Johnny Gargano just debuted on Raw in Toronto. Showed up out the blue. And
Yep.
got treated like a big deal. So why did somebody tell you that 6 months ago?
Yeah, it is really crazy what has happened in the matter of what has it been 3 months since the whole hush money scandal came out?
Hasn't been that long. I don't see it hasn't been that long. It seemed like it was like
Maybe it's only been two?
two months at the most. It's like time has just been flying, but it's like it's kind of wrestling is this weird thing where it's no longer stagnant. Like you have to put your best foot forward, and AEW has the advantage. Like a lot of people that was hurt is coming back, but the disadvantage is you got way too many people on that roster. Like I just look about all the people. It's kind of like you only had not only you had way too many people, you only pushing like 45% of the people because you tend to see the same people every week because it's like for a reason. So if you're not one of those ones getting pushed, what you gonna do?
Well, and I'm rewatching the main event right now too. And AEW has a habit of featuring professional wrestlers from other companies. There's nothing wrong with that, but that also takes up time of from someone in your company.
Yeah, like I'm glad for the small subset of people like Will Ospreay. I'm not one of them. They get to see him. But I'm like, okay, is he going to be in AEW long term? No, then what's the point? It's like they want to, like, it's like you're right. It's not like a tournament type Cruiserweight Classic where you just throw something random and you just need to use up time. It's kind of like you have a lot of people who actually sign there that are putting over people who are not signed there for the purpose of eventually putting over the right people. I'm guessing this is all of this is for Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks to win. And if that is the case, fine. I know people treat Kenny Omega like he's Daniel Day-Lewis. I'm like, oh, he's just selling. I didn't know he was that good an actor. Because why is he wasting time wrestling? He should be in Hollywood. Because I watched that match he had, and I'm like, yeah, this does not look right.
It did not pass the I believe his injuries smell test.
Yeah, and all this. Oh, he just knows how to work. Really? I'm like, he's that good a method actor that he knows how to wrestle. And like, no, he did not. I've seen people who pretend to be injured, and it's kind of like this very deliberate in a way where it's like, I'm not really injured, but I'm going to pretend to wrestle be injured. And then I've also seen people who had no business. Like, I remember when Candice Michelle came back from breaking her collarbone. And that's exactly how it looked. It's like, this is not going to last long. She was not moving right. She didn't look right. Everything felt awkward. Kenny Omega's on a way higher level than Candice Michelle. But I'm like, I've seen Kenny Omega wrestle. And people had description of all the injuries he had. It's like, no, it don't. He came out with a compression shirt and more tape, like Frankenstein's monster and all this other stuff. I'm like, this, I don't know the story you're trying to tell, but this whole making fun of wrestlers who come, you know, who take time off the hill and I'm coming back too soon. And I'm like, no, it's, prove me wrong and pretend. And if you're not actually injured, great. I don't believe that. It's uncomfortable watching.
Yeah, it was not a great, yeah, I mean, he looks legitimately injured, I guess. Like, it was one of those things where, especially this week, I'm like, it's either that or you're using a lot of kinesio tape and hiding your gut for reasons that I don't understand.
Yeah, and it's just a funny thing, because it's like, you see Jericho basically just changed his body to fit a role, like he Christian Bale. He goes from being a boozy rock star to being a rock star on meth with abs. And, like, and it's wild. Like, I've been watching AEW more, and I've been liking something, disliking other things. And the matches tend to be good. Although I'm not a fan of this whole, I keep dropping people on the heads and getting two count stuff. Is like, I think it's old fans, but it's like, that's acquired taste. Did laugh at the Acclaim cutting the line about the backstage meeting. I'm like, none of these people at the show know what you're talking about. They're at the show. This just happened that day. They were dropping to go to Ticketmaster, pick up the tickets, or to get to sell out. This, like, sometimes you get too cute and you gotta kinda know your fan base. And I think they kinda like, I know that's their claim thing, it's like, I'ma say stuff I'm not supposed to say to get a reaction, but it's like, it's definitely ebbs and flows when it comes to that.
Yeah, it's, I think it's hard to do that consistently, to try and come up with outrageous lines and to really get a pop, because I did think that this week's kind of did not get the pop of some of the other ones, just because it's, yeah, like you said, it's a, I guess, a little too fresh. People weren't really familiar with it, so.
Yeah, like, their best jokes is like stuff, they talk about stuff that happened the week before. So it was fresh enough that people remember, but not so soon that people may not be caught up to it, because wrestling fans tend to be behind by a week or two anyway. But, you know, to each show. But this, but the whole thing is like, they're feuding over who's going to respect Billy Gunn, and now the tag team champs are involved, and I'm like, why are we spending all this time about Billy Gunn? Like, that's why I'm just asking myself. I'm not an anti-Billy Gunn fan, but I'm just, it just seems kind of like, he's old.
Yeah, that's the part that just, he's another guy that, okay, he is not as useless as, let's say, Tully Blanchard. But yeah, like he's a guy that I don't need to see him on my TV in the in 2022. Like it's not necessary.
His old tag team partner is begging for employment. I'm glad he got a job again. And he's still in the ring, like, I'm gonna keep, I got abs, I'm a power lifter. And it's like, if you're old enough that your sons look old and you're still in the ring, and it's not like Billy Gunn, it's like Dusty Rhodes or Bruno Sammartino, it's Billy Gunn. I'm glad he's getting paid, but I'm like, why am I saying that? Why is he getting all this time? Shouldn't be on, like, you have all these young up-and-comers that could be getting time, you could be building towards something, and you keep giving time to these people where it's like, where's the future? Like, it doesn't, like, Claudio wrestling Dustin Rhodes for the title? Fine. I know they have a good match. Dustin Rhodes is just going to have a good match with Claudio, can be a melee. Like, I want to show I still got it. They'll have the
Oh.
match, and they'll be done. I see Billy Gunn 3 times a month. When I turn on TBS and TNT, like I've seen him more than I've seen him during the Attitude Era. He was a DX. You know how long ago that was, Kevin?
Too long. 20 years now.
My hairline was immaculate back then, and I have been bald for a long time. That's how long it's been, and it's like I just hope AEW just has a lot of bodies, and I just hope they find a way to kind of organize that. And it's like, I hope Tony Khan finds a way to have a strong, firm hand so he doesn't get bulldozed like Eric Bischoff got bulldozed in WCW. But it's just kind of like, you can't be buddies with your employees when you're the boss. That really works well. Like, you have to like know when to be the boss, because otherwise they will run right over you.
Yeah, like I almost feel like he is stretched too thin at this point. Like it's kind of gotten to the point where he kind of, needs real executive vice presidents and not kind of figurehead ones just because they founded the company.
Yeah, like Vince McMahon was a maniac, and even he had a support structure.
Oh. Yeah, he did not literally do. As much as Vince had his hands in a lot of stuff, he did not do everything.
And it's like it's impossible for one person in a sport and a business as wild and as renegade as pro wrestling. It's impossible for one person to play. This isn't the 80s anymore. Like Bill Watts can do something like that because he's Bill Watts. But like even then, you got a locker room that's not that big, and it's like
Oh.
you also have a locker room of people who kind of know what they're doing. And like you don't have to tell Ric Flair how to be Ric Flair. You don't have to tell Ricky Steamboat how to act. Like when you have a locker room full of grown-ups that grew up wrestling, they know what to do. It's just kind of like I'm just here with a firm hand. But I don't need to hold their hand. AEW just has this wild crowd. Like, they have a lot of young people trying to find their way, want to get their chance, and then a bunch of older people, like, I want to get my stuff off. And, like, all these disparate personalities, like, I'm coming from this company, I'm coming from that company. It's like, why keep seeing Jay Lethal every week? Like, for what?
Oh my gosh, that is one of the ones that just is driving me bananas. Like, there is no reason for me to be seeing this much Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, and is it Satnam Singh, I believe?
Yes.
He is even less prepared to be in a wrestling match than Omos. And yeah. I don't care. They're taking up space that, again, like even people that have championships, like I feel like they could still do a better job with like Keith Lee and Swerve. Is it Swerve Strickland now? Yeah, like they just kind of became champions out of nowhere, and now, like you said, like they're in some weird, like, who did they save this week?
The Acclaim.
The Acclaim, yeah. It's like, huh?
So they can Like, I don't know why you need to fight them fair, but also remember that baby faces are born morons.
This has been a wrestling truth for quite some time.
Yeah, it's like I learned that by being a Sting fan. So, but it's like, that's just the thing. But it's like, and it's just such a, because I guess we'll talk about WWE, it's just such a contrast now, where it's like AEW just seems like it's chaotic, and it's like, you'll either get greatness or madness, you know, a whole bunch in between. I look forward to watching WWE now.
Oh.
And I remember when I had stopped watching Raw, because it was just boring, it was just a drag, and now I look, and I remember when they said Triple H was going to be in charge of creative. And I remember all the gatekeepers on Twitter saying, it's not going to be, it's not going to matter. Vince still going to be running the show. Yeah. Triple H is going to be a figurehead, blah, blah, blah. And then some of them were like, oh, well, if you're excited, then that's fine. I hope it works out. Like, kind of want to ram the parade. And I was telling people, I'm like, we have never seen that corporation run by somebody that was not a McMahon. It is nobody that is, like, it was either Vince or Vince's dad. Nobody's been a lot, like, we, in all of our lifetimes, a McMahon has run World Wrestling Federation or World Wrestling Entertainment. So we do not know what wrestling looked like when that was not happening. So from that change alone, I was going to be excited. You don't hear those whole, oh, it doesn't matter what Triple H thing. It's like people treat Triple H like, oh, Triple H and NXT with an infinite budget. Like, it is real simple. He, the storylines are entertaining, and he lets them wrestle. That's it. That's all he does. And that's all you have to do.
Yeah, what Triple H does is not... Yeah, he tries to keep it simple, stupid kind of situation. Like,
let the people who can cut promos, make stuff seem important, and wrestle. People have time to have matches, and they wrestle. He makes the U.S. title, like, he's going to have a U.S. title match. He's going to talk about why the U.S. title is important. He's going to talk about all the people who had the belt. He's going to let Lashley talk about how important it is for him to have the title. He's going to have all these challenges talk about how important it is to beat Lashley. And then he's going to have them talk after the match. Like, I almost won, and I'm going to get a chance. And Lashley is like, I can't wait to fight the next person. It is not rocket science. That's all you have to do. And it works. It's a, like, it makes... Why do you think Bobby Lashley is so over now? Like, even in Canada, like, that match with AJ Styles... The crowd was mostly behind Styles when the match started. By the time he got the hot tag to Lashley, that crowd was chanting for Lashley and Bret Hart.
Yeah, I Bobby Lashley has really turned into something here. It's, I mean, has this been his first, like, his best babyface run in the WWE? Just
by far. I think what happened was he was good as a babyface when he came back, and then they kind of lost their way a little bit. He was awesome as a heel, like too good as a heel, where he became a popular because he was like, I'm a badass heel with women, and I win. And I think the way that he, like, he never got beat for the belt, it's kind of like, you know, we need to take the belt off of him. Because of reason, you know, injury or reason. Like, he didn't lose that match they had when Lesnar won the title. So people kind of had the idea, like, you know, he got screwed, more or less. And then he came back, and it's like, he's just, he wins. He looks like a superhero. He's cutting good, solid babyface promos. He's interacting with the crowd, and he just beats people up. And it just, and it's like, it keeps going and going, and then you see him interact with, like, the crowds going along, doing the fist thing with his music, and to chant his name, and he's having great matches with people who can have great matches. It's like, they know how to make people look special. They've always known. They've just used to do a piss-poor job doing it for 85% of the time. And now, they're not doing a piss poor job doing it. That's all it is.
Yeah. It was not going to take much to fix, and like you said, that makes the landscape of wrestling 2 months in. Because yeah, I think that at this point, that is the other thing. Like, there was a little bit of a specter of, hey, Vince might come back. I think he's out. Like, I don't think this much happens if they're not sure.
That promo Drew McIntyre cut last week enforced me that he ain't coming back, because Drew McIntyre was super. Because that's the other person that's like has also stepped his game up. He's like, y'all talking about this Chosen One stuff. I got fired, and then I had to bust my ass to come back, and they called me, and I didn't call them. And he's like, y'all sports entertainer, prize fighter. We are professional wrestlers and a wrestling ring. Let's just wrestle. Something as simple as that is like, you couldn't say wrestler, you couldn't say strap or belt, like all that goofy stuff that you couldn't do because Mr. McMahon was a lunatic. Is like, you could be normal. Like, Bobby Lashley and McIntyre are like the biggest badasses on the planet because they get to be themselves. That's all they got to do. And it works.
Shocking how that happens.
Yeah, it works, and it's like, it's funny where how the main event scene looks a lot better than it looked a couple months ago. And it's a funny thing where I know we're focusing on Raw. Quick thing, so when did Roman Reigns become an anti-hero? Like, he's just cheered now.
I guess it's one of those. He really has beaten everyone. Like, how do you not acknowledge him? Like, Drew McIntyre is maybe the only person he hasn't beaten.
Yeah, like, he's beaten everybody else that he's wrestled. I don't, like, he hasn't wrestled. Wait, did they wrestle? He hasn't wrestled Lashley. He's beaten everybody else.
Did they have a survive? No, they didn't have a Survivor Series match. Okay.
He had the championship back then. And I know Big E sits somewhere just mad. But that's neither here nor there. But it's like, I noticed that when he was at Madison Square Garden and he was in the ring with Theory, he said that line, like, your daddy's not here to save you. And it is zoomed on Austin Theory's. Ooh, I just laugh at how they love. Like, they push Austin Theory, but it's like each week they try to find a way to make him look like a bozo.
Oh.
And I'm here for it. But it's like, you know, like, Raw's 3 hours and it doesn't feel like a drag. Like, I would prefer Raw being 2 hours, but I'm not dreading Raw being 3 hours because they make the hours work. Like, you know, the match start, it's in Toronto, had Trish Stratus out there. It's unfair that Trish Stratus just decided to stop aging, but...
Yes.
I'm like, she's 46. Like, y'all, I know that's what Wikipedia says, and I know I was watching her when I was a teenager, but yeah. My eyes are lying. You know, have her hype, the match, have the tag team match, have the right team win, go from there. It's like, you have good matches, you have people cut promos, you have better matches. Like, imagine a world where fans are popping and losing their mind for Dexter Lumis to, like, have his... He had a decoy. I laugh at it, like, this man is having super villain plan. Like, I'm going to have a fake stalker. Y'all thought I was trying to buy the 80 styles. I wanted to miss all along. And I'm laughing because they've been playing this storyline so many, like, you know it's fake. But it's enough ambiguity, like, you know, is it? It's supposed to be there. They're playing it awesomely. And then they had the fake person there. I'm like, I don't know who this guy is. And then Lewis takes his helmet off, and the crowd pops like he's Steve Austin. This man's kidnapping The Miz. And Corey Graves loses. Like, why is the crowd cheering this? This man's committing a crime.
Well, I think we've discussed many a time that wrestling crowds... questionable morality in some of these situations.
But just think about the fact that it's Dexter Lumis that's doing this. I remember when he got released from NXT, and the main argument was NXT was always going to be a developmental brand. What can we do with this veteran? He doesn't fit. He doesn't fit. And I understood the argument at the time. And Triple H was like, I'm going to show you what I can do with this. And he made it work. And the storylines are going across. Because, you know, he shows up on NXT, gets back together with his kayfabe wife, and then gets arrested like it's Bonnie and Clyde. It's like, it's simple. Simple stuff that works. It's funny that, like, that's all you have to do. That's it.
Yeah, and it's it has made the WWE just in general, like you said, it's more watchable. Like even the wife's like, oh, I might need to watch again. Like she's like, you didn't need someone 77 years old in charge of a wrestling product.
Yeah, like, you know, Judgment Day. Talk about the main event. Judgment Day seems like such badasses now because they get to beat themselves. Like, you know. People forget Finn Balor is an awesome heel because he's a prick. Like, he's a likable prick. Like, him pulling up his jacket tomorrow, I got Rey Mysterio in my pocket. And just everybody just getting little laughs like that. This Rhea Ripley thing, they know what they're doing. It's funny that this is happening the same time She-Hulk has debuted on Disney Plus, and I would just say it's perfect timing because that Venn diagram is an eclipse. And that's all, like, it's something about a goth woman that size just bullying men smaller than her, and people saying, I wish that was me. It's like, one, keep that to yourself. Two, I understand, especially when she changed her get up. And it's like, yes, she has a good tattoo parlance. But
yeah,
Edge is almost 50 years old, and he's doing Canadian Destroyers. And they call it a Canadian Destroyer. They used to never call that. They used to call it, what's that move, Cole? Like, they never called it Canadian Destroyer until Monday on WWE TV. And Petey Williams works there.
Oh, I guess I forgot that he works there. How long's he been working there?
Oh, wow, he's an agent there. And I was watching, and I saw him pull that move out, and I'm like, Edge doesn't need to be doing. We talked about this before.
No.
Like, Edge is out here wrestling like he's trying to prove I can run. Like, you don't have anything to prove, Edge. Like, I'm happy, but what are you doing? Be old. Like, he powerbombing Damian Priest on Barricade. I'm like, he has an 8-pack. He's doing moves he never did. I'm like, Edge, why? You love us that much? You want to prove you still got it that much?
Yeah, he does.
Obviously, he does. I love it. Like, they have an awesome match. Edge wins. Judgment Day gets their fire back. And also the funniest thing, Beth Phoenix is more over since she's been retired than she ever was when she wrestled.
Yeah, like, I think almost all the women, and even I think Trish Stratus is kind of in that category. They're still, I guess, young enough that, you know, they can still at least pull out the occasional match. And, yeah, much like her husband, Beth Phoenix has gotten into some ridiculously good shape.
I had to stop working at NXT to take care of my kid, to start taking care of my kid. You're right. You just had a new gym membership, and you took advantage. Like, I don't know why she lied like that. I need to spend more time with her family. Yeah, your family meant your husband. I keep seeing you show up to wrestle or to beat people. Like, they're going to have a mixed tag match. I can't wait to see it. And it's just kind of like you say, one thing about WWE is they treat their women legends like legends. They all, like, you know, not submarine level legends. But even then, it's kind of like they never disrespect any of their women coming back, more or less. But the ones that's like on their Mount Rushmores, they treat them like they treat like it's a big deal. And they've always done that. And it helps. It's like, you know, whenever Trish Stratus comes back, it's a big deal. Because they tell you that she's a big deal. They tell you Lita's a big deal. They tell you Beth Phoenix is a big deal. And I know you guys, some people don't like it, the Bellas are a big deal. And they treat them that way. And that's what you do. You treat the people that are big deals like big deals. And you want somebody to be special, treat like they're special. We know why Johnny Gargano's second work. They made him feel special. He came back. He cut a promo. He interacted with somebody that gets plenty of TV time, that they have a past issue with. And he looks, he gets over. He looks better. That's it. They made Dolph Ziggler entertaining again. I caught that little backstage live. I laughed my ass off. You gonna sit there like a bitch and you gonna get up. And I'm like, oh, this is not the John Cena WWE that I remember. They sound like a DOS now. Like little stuff like that.
They did not need to completely blow up the system. Like, I guess that's the one thing that was maybe hard to get around, because Vince was definitely still there, is, you know, we're talking about, like, just small tweaks to what they were doing. Like you said, like, letting them say wrestling, like, it really shouldn't be as big of a deal as it was. Like, I couldn't believe, I forgot how many people popped when one of the announcers finally used the word hospital. And it's just like, yes. Yeah, no one calls it a local medical facility.
It's a hospital.
No one.
They get to be, think about how many accolades Michael Cole has been getting since Vince left. It's like, this is the, and I got mad. You know what I got mad? We could have had this Michael Cole for 15 years. We got robbed. And I got so damn mad. I'm like, Michael Cole is awesome when he gets to be a human being. And you got glimpses, like certain manias, or when he was doing NXT stuff, like the UK Classic, and I think the Mae Young, the second Mae Young tournament. It's like, yeah, Michael Cole, when he gets to be an adult, it's awesome. But they never let him. And he's got glimpses of it when Pat McAfee was there. But now, like, Shay's an El Generico. What? you get to say that, Michael Cole? I don't know if Vince McMahon was watching, he would have had an aneurysm. I hope he's not watching his product. He might die.
Well, he wouldn't know what to say, because he is actually there are responses to what is happening. Like that. Like, to me, it really helped that the WWE hadn't been in Canada for, what, probably 3 years or something like that?
Yeah, it's been a while. And I wonder why that whole thing with Tia the Lions and Zoe Stark happened. Then I remember they're going to Canada. And I know, as a Philly fan, that just came off like Canada still has their vaccine mandate. Because all of a sudden, certain members feel like, oh, Mark, sticking this in my body, and they on the do not playlist, and you lose 35% of your team because they knuckleheads. And it's like, oh, that's right. So she was like, they weren't injured. Keita Lodge is one of those.
Oh.
Yeah, so yes, them being in Canada for the first time helped, because Canada loves wrestling, and they gave them wrestling. And the funny thing is, the superstars that were, like, Kevin Owens, they treat him like a big deal. Edge, they treat him like a big deal. Trish Stratus, they treat like a big deal. Aaliyah got clocked. She could be from Toronto all she want. That ain't shit. That was there for barely get the rust off, as it should be. And I laughed, like, Aaliyah has been in developmental for a zillion years. Has not changed one bit. Gets more time on TV than she ever got in NXT, and it makes not one difference. She is just there to be a mid-card. I might win once and lose three times a month. You need people like that. She's a jobber, as she should be.
It is wild what has happened in her career. But I mean, I don't even know if I'd put her on the enhancement talent list. Like, she's not on TV enough to be considered enhancement talent.
I mean, it's funny where I thought she was a SmackDown wrestler, and she just popped up on Raw. Like, she'll pop in, she might get a win. She's on TV, but not like a lot. But it's like, it seemed like I noticed they kind of rotated the SmackDown women where you wouldn't see Xia Li, and then you see her, and now you're seeing Shotzi back doing that. It's like you see Shayna Baszler back, and it's like the people. What the advantage that Triple H has is he knows who's talented. And he knows who needs to, Karrion Kross, we're going to have him be more like his NXT character. We're not going to have him come out looking like Spartacus. I'm not a Karrion Kross fan, but the way they market him works is like, okay, he's this spooky badass. That's better than being whatever he was being before. Like, that clearly wasn't working. This version is better. Have Shayna Baszler just be a badass.
Well, I think that you kind of hit on it. I think the ladies, just in general, are going to benefit from this. Because I feel like they kind of backed off of them a bit because Charlotte wasn't around and because Bayley wasn't around. And well.
And what happened with Sasha and Naomi, which I'm going to talk about when we wrap up. But it's
Yeah.
like, yeah, that is the point. And one thing he notices, he also knows what he can't do. You know who you haven't seen in a little bit? Lacey Evans. You wanna know why? That's what are you going to do with her?
Oh.
I laugh. Only at WWE could a veteran be a heel. Cause she threw in her face that she's a veteran. It's like she pulled herself up by her bootstraps and it's like, we don't appreciate life because our daddy didn't put the cigarette out on our foreheads. That ain't my fault you came from a broken home. It's like you sound like any other Republican. That's not an origin story. That's like that whole thing was wild. And I was left like after the second week she come, I'm like, she's a heel. I wonder if people noticed that. They was like, oh, what's on? I'm like, no, think about it. She's saying I was going to graduation, but my daddy's a drunk and that part sounds sympathetic, but they always end it like, well, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else, but ain't nobody better than me. And like, y'all need to appreciate what I went through. I'm like, no, shoot me the hill. Now, you know the funny thing? I remember doing a show with you years ago when she was in NXT, and I was like, they are marketing her like she's a heel. And I was laughing, like, they have a Marine
Oh.
veteran, and they're making her out to be an asshole. Because it just fit.
Yeah, like you said, like there were little things like, and it was just that was so awkward, like especially right when she was doing that stuff was when the WWE was depersonalizing everything, and that's when they started with the hey, everyone needs to have a ring name stuff. And we can't really talk about our real lives in our promos. And then she's there doing that exact thing. And it's just like, this feels really awkward right now. Like, you're using your real name. They didn't just chop your name to Lacey. Like.
It'd be funny if they called her Evans. Hey, my mom wasn't there. My daddy used to smoke crack. Somehow I made it, and Uncle win the title because I overcame pain. And I'm like, lady, I saw the behind the scenes of Liv Morgan and Sasha Banks. Is like, you got a lot. Like, you talk about how you had it rough. That sounds cool to like Charlotte Flair talk about what she went through. It's like, oh, yeah, they have a lot of people that's been through rough stuff. And it's not a character trait. And they made it as a character trait, and they made it so. And then, like, you go out there, and you have the sad days of our lives, promo music in the background, And then she's done talking, you want people to cheer, and then she start coming out, oh, you didn't cheer for me enough. She's like, I fought for the country. You're not loving me enough. I'm like, they made a veteran a heel. Patriotic WWE just made her a jerk. And I just, that's why I called it like that old Street Fighter 2 cartoon with the GIF of Guile in the ring and people
Oh.
throwing like apples and bananas. I'm like, yes, that is Lacey Evans. And I loved everything. And it just went into all it. Like, just make her a Southern belle and a bigot like she was before. Just go that route. Just
It's
seems fit.
kind of crazy that that's the better option. Like, you would think that you get some type of sympathy for that story, but nope. Not even a little bit.
And maybe she don't deserve sympathy. But to, I guess, wrap up. So I was watching the Stone Cold episode with Charlotte. It was very illuminating. It was just very, like, Charlotte was very honest, I would say. Like, she is very aware of how she comes off and how she, and she basically talked about, like, how she basically got in WWE to, like, fulfill her brother's dream,
Oh.
which is such a wild thing. It's like, we know it's just still, like, wild to think of. And, like, she was saying, basically, like, before that, I was just, I didn't have no plan. I was just, like, bouncing all around, because it's kind of like, yeah, her dad's Ric Flair, and she got to see the bad stuff from Ric Flair. We got to see the good stuff from Ric Flair, and we know enough about it now just to be like, that did not seem to be like, stable home life.
I haven't even heard, like, I guess I know some of the stories, but I haven't really heard anything about the actual home life. And I can only imagine that it was just a train wreck most of the
He never,
time.
like, it's either, like, daddy never there, my brother dealing with drug stuff. And it's like, she talked about how, he asked me to come home, and I'm busy, like, in school, or come visit me. Like, it was something like either he's in Japan or something. And it was like, he asked her to visit, she kind of put it off, and then he died. And she felt, it was like, yeah, just kind of like talking about how like she was in a bad place. Flair went to rehab because of that. Like, it was, I remember it kind of, that was tough. And then she basically talked about all the stuff she learned at NXT and kind of how she grew up. Basically, she learned the most from her peers, like Sasha and Bayley and Becky. And it was just kind of like, and it's funny, but she, like, I need something to stand out, because Stone Cold asked how he's ranked, like, your traits. And she was, like, basically saying, she said ring work, personality, and then looks. She put looks last, because she's like, she may describe herself like, I'm generic, like, I'm just a blonde with green eyes, I'm less basic. And I laughed, and I'm like, and then I just thought about it. I would never look at Charlotte Flair and think she was regular. Nothing screams, but that's how she viewed herself as far as, and I'm just kind of like, it's just amazing, because I've heard Sasha talk about the same thing of like, we have no clue the stress that women wrestlers are under, where it's like, how we look at them is not how they look at themselves. And I always get mad at Kevin Dunn, because do I laugh at all, where it's like, he thought Becky Lynch was not attractive enough to be a champion. And we kind of like, who is he to say that? I'm like, that man was in charge for a long time. He was responsible for, like, who got pushed and not. I'm like, think about the mental nonsense and gymnastics you gotta tell yourself. Like, I'm talented, I know I can do it, but this man with 200 teeth is calling me ugly. Like, on what planet is Becky Lynch ugly?
And not this
Not
one.
all, not ours.
Not this one.
So, anyway, she's talking about how she got to, WWE, and she
Oh.
got to push and learn. And she said it didn't kick in for her to be a natural in the ring till she wrestled Ronda the first time.
No.
did think about how many matches she had.
I mean, she had a lot of really good matches before that.
Yeah, she basically described how she was kind of like, you know, she had to think about stuff. Like, she said she looked at older matches that with the Clash, like, why did I do this? This was unnatural. I should have did that. And it's kind of like how she looked at things were a lot different than how we looked at it. And she was aware. Like, she talked about her relationship with Becky. Like, you know, we were crutches for each other. Now we're in different, like, not that we have issues, but we're just different. Like, we're both married. She had a kid. Our lives have changed. Won't be the best. It happens. Like the same, you know, a long time ago, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels were good friends until they weren't friends. You know, it tends to happen. And that belt thing, remember when he was switching the belts?
Oh.
She said it was an accident. Because she said, she basically said, if that was her character, she would have never picked up the belt. Around, like she wouldn't act like that. Didn't fit her character, and I always thought something was just weird about that whole thing.
The explanation of her kind of being salty about it almost made sense of that angle, but her saying it was a genuine accident just—it seems almost weirder that that was the case.
Like,
honestly,
it was an accident that just escalated into something worse, basically, which. Accidents tend to have that way. You know something also? And Stone, and that's why I have the feeling, you know, that Sasha and Naomi come back. He asked her how Charlotte felt about them leaving. And that's the first time I've heard them talk about that since it's happened on WWE programming. And you know what she said? I wasn't there, so I can't speak on it, but those are my friends. And I hope I get to wrestle with him again. I love them both. And I know things happen. That's all I'll say. You know what Stone Cold said? I have been there, so I understand. And they kept it moving. Not this whole, you disappointed me and all this stuff. It's like, she was just honest. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. They my friends. I hope I get to see him again. And I was just amazed. It's kind of like, the fact that Stone Cold, see, well, the fact that they... let him ask.
Yeah, I mean, he has a lot more leeway than other people. At this juncture, though, when did that come out, that Charlotte interview?
Like, this week? This weekend?
Oh,
last week? It just came out, so I think, like, late last week.
I think at least a little bit of the shock value of maybe hearing questions like that, just because... I mean, not to go back to the announcers for too long, but, I mean, they were almost positively giddy about making Vince jokes. The first show that they all had not under Vince, they're like, oh, I'm allowed to say this now.
Yeah, they changed. A lot of, like, a lot of things changed. And, you know, the funny thing is, you're used to people saying, like, Mr. McMahon's almost like a father to me and all this stuff. And there's a lot of people who feel that way. There's a whole lot of people who don't feel that way, though. And we got to hear them. And it's like, you ain't gonna hear Roman Reigns say this was like a dad. Roman Reigns got his own dad. Like, it seems like there's a lot of people that was kind of like, you know, and even Triple H, like, I got a chip on my shoulder. I'm ready to do things my way. And it's just funny where you already can tell how Triple H felt. Because when Dakota Kai came back, I'm like, yeah, Vince ain't coming back.
Oh.
Because basically it was like all the stuff I wanted to do and you wouldn't let me do, not only am I doing it, I'm doing a high level. Tommaso Ciampa is getting U.S. title matches and is in a high profile tag team with The Miz. I would have thought when he left NXT, he was going to be, like, working somewhere else.
Oh. Yeah, that one's gone from, I'm kind of surprised he's on the main roster when Vince was still there, to, I am not surprised that he's in a tag team with, I mean, I guess I'm surprised that he's in a tag team with The Miz. Like, I guess I would not have called that happening. It works though. Like, they seem like a really good weird combination to have together.
And also, it's like The Miz. If you need to get somebody new over, you get them involved with The Miz.
Oh,
like, it's a reason that The Miz is going to be like, he could be a headliner for a Hall of Fame class, and it would not stand out in the slightest. It would feel natural. That's how important The Miz has been. It's basically like, if I need something done, and I need to trust somebody, it's basically right now, it's three people. It's The Miz, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens. And those are all weird names to think about, considering where they all started from. But that's like, you know, they are in much better places than they were. Especially Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. It went from, I know they can't wait to go to AEW, to they are the linchpins of WWE.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Owens had already made a good choice. I think almost off the bat, things seemed to be working out for him even before he signed the contract. I mean, come on, he had a match with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
He had a match with Stone Cold Steve Austin in the main event at WrestleMania in Dallas. You ain't never topping that. The Rock didn't get to do that. Like, you got to be involved with Steve Austin's last match at WrestleMania in Dallas. I'm sorry, Tony Khan. It ain't nothing you can do. Like, unless you bring in Stu Hart from the grave and use a time machine. Like, this.
Yeah, he better lend him, like, you know, I don't know, 50% of the Jaguars or something. Really back up the dump truck full of money.
Something like that. It's like, he gets, that's, you know how Larry Smith, I beat Bruno, like, he bragged about that, as he should. Yeah, I wrestled Steve Austin at WrestleMania Dallas in the main event. I'm bragging about that the rest of my life. I'm like, just like The Miz, you know I beat John Cena, right? Like, every few months of your mind, as you should. And then Sami Zayn is like, he gets to cavort around with Roman Reigns, the champ. And when they turn on him, and I don't know if it's going to be Jimmy or Jay or Roman, all three, he's going to be one of the biggest baby faces they have.
Oh. It is kind of funny that he's gone from, oh no, there's no way that Sami Zayn can be a heel in the WWE, to one of the most entertaining heels, if not the most entertaining heel in the company. And yeah, they are really putting him in a position to become a huge babyface again.
And it's a funny thing where we went from wondering who the babyface is going to be to them having so many where they can pick and choose. It's kind of like the elephant in the room. Y'all, like, we all, like, Cody Rhodes will be back one day.
Oh.
And guess what? The funny thing about that is Cody Rhodes' favorite wrestler is Triple H.
Yep.
And it's kind of like, I'm sure Triple H is aware of that. And Triple H saw how over Cody Rhodes was before he got injured. It's like, if anything Triple H likes more than himself is having somebody in his image. You don't think he's looking forward to Cody Rhodes on Evo, like, you don't think he's looking forward to pushing Cody Rhodes, you got another thing coming. Because think about how close he was to Cody Rhodes' dad. And you know how much a mark Triple H is for that NWA era. Nothing would please that man more than having the son of Dusty Rhodes being the face of WWE. And it be earned.
And I mean, Cody Rhodes was in a position, you know, under Vince to become huge. And it was one of the few things that he was one of the few things to really, like, to me, I went, yes, I actually believe the crowd noise right now.
And I still don't know how that happened.
But now that the crowds in general for the WWE events, they're like, oh man, Vince is gone? You mean we can actually cheer and logical shit's gonna happen for the most part? Let's go. Like, the crowds have been jacked. Like, I can only imagine the next time Cody comes out, like, that place is gonna be bonkers.
It's amazing. It's like, it's been a long time since the, like, it's not Attitude Era, because, like, I don't think we'll ever reach that where every single crowd just felt like a, like,
oh, red hot.
I forgot, like, how popular WCW WWE was during that time. From, like, them crowds were insane. And they were full, like, people, like, teenagers, like, young adults, and women. Like, those crowds was just, like, so I don't think we'll ever reach those. The crowds now are hot. WWE crowds are into what they're watching. You don't have to pipe in any sounds. Like, they are enjoying what they're watching, and they seem like a big deal again. And one last thing, shout out to Bianca Belair. She signed with WME. And they understand, like, they know a star when they see one. I'm like, yes, Bianca Belair is just, boy, they lucked out with her.
Well, she's another one where Vince obviously finally kind of put the seal of approval on her with the more recent wins over Becky Lynch. But she's got to be looking forward to Triple H being in charge, because I still think that they can do more with her.
I almost feel like she's unfair. Like, she is so, we're going to wrap up talking about her. One thing I've noticed watching wrestlers, like, sometimes it's somebody that's, like, they just stand out so much more than their peers, where they're doing things other people can do. And the first two people I noticed that was Young Sting and Scott Steiner. Like, Sting was around the same size as John Cena, moving around like a cruiserweight in, like, the late 80s and early 90s. And I knew he was athletic, but it wasn't like, I'm like, Sting should have been able to be doing what he was doing at that size. Like, no. Sting was like, I'm like, this man was an athlete. Man, you didn't have to be an athlete. And they had plenty of, like, they had, like, this is the era, like, Barry Windham's and Steve Williams and Rick Stein. You had plenty of athletes, but, like, Sting stood out around the people that could do stuff. But out of people like Rey Mysterio's and Brock Lesnar's and like people who like do stuff that other people can't come close to, the one that always stood out was Young Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
Like, he was like a damn X-Men. Before he became big, like, before he became overly muscled, Scott Steiner was, we don't have a Scott Steiner now. And he was doing that in the 89 and 90. We haven't had anyone close to that.
Yeah, we need to have Angelo Dawkins doing Montez Ford's moveset.
Basically, or like if Montez Ford gained 15 more pounds and keep going. And yeah, I like how they like, oh, Montez Ford put on some weight, he's ready for the main event. Yeah, y'all not gonna talk about how he put that weight on, but I like how they acknowledge, like, yes, we see his body change, like, he gets serious, but we haven't had a Scott Steiner until Bianca Belair. I'm like, Bianca Belair can do a 450 and can gorilla press you. Like, it is unlike Triple H has a blueprint. If we can't, we got all the indie people, we're just gonna get athletes and teach them how to wrestle. And with her, it's like, she is an amazing athlete that can wrestle and, like, looks drop-dead gorgeous. And it's just like, come on, Bianca Belair started off as a heel, and she was like it was very easy to dislike her. Because she's like, I'm better than you, and I'm going to tell you I'm better than you, and you kiss my ass. That was so, and it worked. It was like, yeah. I remember Bianca Belair at NXT, she was unlikable.
Anytime that you're calling yourself the EST and, you know, you're the fastest, you know, smartest, like, when you use that many adjectives to describe yourself in a positive manner, I mean, you're definitely leaning into your inner Mr. Perfect.
And then she came to the main roster, and I like, once that feud with Bayley, it's like, she can be likable. And like, she is, it's just amazing how somebody that was so effective as a heel is just so likable as a babyface. Like, crowds just gravitate and love her. And it's like, it's so amazing where you, if you think about somebody like Sasha Banks and Charlotte, they are uber athletic. Like, Sasha Banks is probably, if Bianca Belair didn't exist, Sasha Banks would be the most athletic woman WWE has ever had by far. And it's just like, you see what Sasha Banks can do, and then you see Bianca Belair, and it's like, it's a cheat code.
Yeah.
It's, and they know they have something. And Hollywood knows, like, that's why I tell people, appreciate some of these people that you have, because they are not going to always be around. It's like, they know. If you see what Roman Reigns, he re-signed a new deal, it's, you know, less appearances. I'm like, it's a reason for that. He ain't going to be around. He ain't going to be around till 45. I, like, you know, like we said before, you don't get new teeth to wrestle. Get new teeth for, like, TV. A different type of TV.
What? How dare you say such a thing, sir?
See, like, I'm gonna get a new smile because I'm getting a new time frame on SmackDown. Like, no. He didn't do that because he did not get new teeth because the Thunderdome era was ended. Contrary to what you guys think, but like, you know, she's gonna be something. Her husband's gonna be something. Like, they have plenty of women. Like, Rhea Ripley, they figured out what to do with her. She's gonna be something. In NXT, Tiffany Stratton is going to be something. Like, it's just, she's got next. It's kind of like, let's take Trish Stratus, but instead of fitness, she was a gymnast.
Oh.
And it's like, yeah. And I see it as like, they are, like, sometimes you can just watch, you know, and you look at certain people, and it's like, you know, Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade. Yeah, I cannot stand Toxic Attraction, but I will acknowledge that they have something. Like, it works. And
just, well, the WWE and almost seemingly the world in general is maybe a little less about the sex appeal sometimes now. And having that gimmick, it feels exclusive. Even though all of, like, I maybe not all of, but most of the women are attractive, and I mean, I would imagine that a lot of ladies think some of the guys are attractive, but
yeah,
I'm not playing ball that direction.
Yeah, no, it's like there's no ugly women in WWE. They might look differently, but even like somebody like Doudrop could go to any bar and she will be fine. Like, it's somebody for everybody.
Yeah.
But we've always said that about kind of like Mandy Rose always seemed like a throwback because it's kind of like they never talked about women being like sex pots anymore except for her. Like Carmella is almost like a joke. Like, I'm the prettiest woman in the world. Like, ha ha ha. like whatever you say, like, yeah, Carmella is gorgeous, but it's almost treated like, you know, he'll say that. Mandy Rose, they used to have her come out with the Cinemax music. And
the glitter and everything going like, on.
What is this? 2001? I'm like, this is Attitude Era stuff. Like, it was just weird because since Maryse had left, they hadn't done that. And she was like the last one that they did that with. Whereas, like, my whole thing is, I'm just gorgeous. And with her, it was the same thing. And then the funny thing is, she got over, like, the funny thing about her is the joke about WWE's always been, you want to get over, be a blonde.
Oh.
And she threw away her blonde privilege and got tanned to look like me, and somehow she got over. And to this day, I haven't talked to you about it, because it's kind of like, I'm going to talk in-house stuff, because we have been talking to group chats about this, and we have made certain jokes about Mandy Rose, and I've always come to the thing, like, I can't figure out why she went the route she went. And whenever I ask people, like, I know we, she going to the cookout, she going to NAACP award, that's all funny. But I'm like, this is WWE. That vibe is not what WWE, like, that has not had success in WWE. That whole, I'm going to be like a Kardashian, I'm like, that's not, that don't work with Vince. That's not WWE's fan base. So I'm like, why did she do it? It worked, but I'm like, why? You a blonde bombshell. You just jimming that up?
Well, the blonde bombshell stuff hadn't really worked that well for her, honestly. Like, I don't know if, for whatever reason, people weren't taking her seriously. And honestly, it almost took, like, I'm still not sure that I like the Zoe Stark, Mandy Rose result, honestly.
Oh, and she put on the knee pad and hit her. Oh, that was, ooh, that felt evil. I told you, she's King Kong Bundy with a
C-cup. Yeah, I mean, that definitely is the case. But it does kind of, it's, that win, at least for her, to me, kind of locks down her championship run. You know, it was one of those ones where I didn't think that she's had that great of a NXT run, but she's also been wrestling a lot of new people, and that's not going to help your run at all.
Yeah, I think her thing is, and I would always say with her, is kind of like she has improved in the ring, but we are so spoiled by the level of ring generalship that most NXT women have been. That it's just kind of like, yeah, like if you used to see like Shayna Baszler or Asuka's or Io Shirai or Kairi Sane, and then it's like you see her, and it's like she's competent, but she's a champ. Ain't enough. But it was just working because you get over like on personality. They holding that belt more until the Nikita Lyons win. Or is this going to be Nikita Lyons or Roxanne Perez? It's going to be one of those two. And I think it just depends on which Shawn Michaels watches that week on TV. What route he goes. Because it's funny where it's kind of like, I would, if you would have asked me that maybe a month and a half ago, I would have said Nikita Lyons all day. I think it's, I don't know, it's a lot of noise around her, not in a good way, where it's like, her appeal has changed, and I don't know, it's kind of like, she's not as hot, it's the noise is outweighing the positive with her now, in a way that it did before.
Yeah, there's a little more negativity around here for sure.
And one thing about NXT is kind of like they are aware of how they look on, like more than Raw and SmackDown. Like all you gotta do is listen to Wade Barrett on commentary. They are aware of their image and how they come off online, and they are very cognizant of that. So you can go with the Roxanne Perez route because, like you know, she's a natural babyface. She's easily likable. And she has built-in feuds, and she can have a good match with anybody. Or you can go on the Nikita Lyons route, and you have somebody that's talked about. Or you can sit on Tiffany Stratton, a few months from now.
Yeah, well, that's the only interesting thing, I guess, about Mandy Rose losing the championship. What, two of the women, Tiffany Stratton, and who is the other one that you mentioned that...
Nikita Lyons.
Well, I guess Nikita Lyons is kind of on that edge of not really being a heel, but kind of has some heelish tendencies in her promos at a minimum.
Yeah, but also we kind of ignore the fact that they have a Worlds Collide. It's kind of like, she gonna be in the ring with Mako Satomura. Like, how's that gonna look? I forgot the other person that's in the ring. I don't want to butcher the name, but I'm like, I have seen Mako Satomura wrestle. I don't give a, like, I know wrestling is wrestling. You can tell whatever story. If Mandy Rose ain't in there with a damn gun, it is no story you telling me that she could beat Mako Santamore in any, like, no. You can't sell me that story.
Maybe that's why they, I would have to look it up too, just because she's, it was one of the other NXT UK women, wasn't it? Yeah, because I can't think of what her name was.
I'm like, yes. I'm just thinking about, because, and they...
Oh, Blair just, Davenport.
Yeah, and I was wondering why all these beans and toast jokers were coming over the NXT lady. Then I realized, oh, Triple H is like, remember when you laughed at me when I said I'm going to make NXT worldwide? Well, who laughing now?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't talk about it a whole lot, but yeah, I'm honestly not surprised that they want to upgrade from NXT UK to NXT Europe. I mean, they were NXT Europe anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that way you have Giovanni, you know, or your boy Giovanni.
Giovanni Vinci.
Yes.
There's all kinds of good Italian representation on NXT these days.
But no, he's not a watered down Italian from Jersey. He is not. He's not Italian Italian. I like how we have Italian Americans and Italian Italians, and they make a distinction between the two. Like, no, I'm not some peasant that's out here stealing hubcaps. I drive Lamborghinis and moisturize my beard because I got class. My pizza is thin crust the way it's supposed to be. Like, I just laugh at that. But no. Shout out to the people that, you know, they let go of some people because it's kind of like they get to work while they rebuild or, you know, rebrand NXT to NXT Europe. And Brian Breaker versus Tyler Bate is going to be an awesome match. It's basically going to be Wolverine versus Juggernaut. So
it's hilarious that Juggernaut is five. Well, I guess Juggernaut is traditionally short, isn't he?
I mean, he's stocky. He's big, but he's as wide as he's tall. But it's kind of like Tyler Bate is going to be what, 5'7"?
At best.
It's kind of like, that's never stopped. Like you say, big, strong, vegan boy. Like, that's, you know, him being short never stopped him from being tough. And it's just a thing where if Vince was around, we would be having stuff like this.
Oh. You know, yeah.
But he's not, so we are, like I say, we can wrestle with this. As wrestling fans, we are blessed with what we have right now. And I hope we realize that. And we like the fact, I remember when they brought fireworks back. People poo-poo, like, what's the bit? I'm like, I miss pyro. Y'all can say what y'all want. Like, I miss fireworks. I grew up with fireworks. That was fun. Watching Raw had a fireworks. And when they took that away, that upset me. And when they brought it back, I was happy. I don't care if Rob, I don't care if somebody lost their job because of fireworks. That ain't my fault. I ain't fire. Like, you know. Like, if Timothy Thatcher had to get unemployed for you to bring back some pyro, so be it. It's about the WWE universe. Damn it, at least we deserve to be happy. So all you need to do is bring back better ring music and bring back pay-per-view specific stages. You're good to go.
Yeah. You can keep your fireworks then. I'm still like, yep, shit, it's 4th of July again. Yeah, not a big draw for this guy over here. But what I mean, it doesn't bother me either, though. And it does seem very, I guess just because wrestling did get popular in the era that it did and there were fireworks involved, it seems more like the traditional presentation at this point than when you don't have fireworks. Come out
and he did a Feed Me More and he punched it and you heard a fireworks sound and you saw no smoke and no fireworks. Remember how silly that looked?
Yeah, it looked pretty terrible.
Well, there you go then. So I know Becky Lynch coming out with like a fire extinguisher isn't all that's cracked up to be, but it's better than nothing. And also, if we didn't have fireworks, we wouldn't have Cody Rhodes be so obnoxious with his pro with his pyro.
Oh, well, that was just, yeah, that I will admit that that was so obnoxious that it was funny.
Yes, it was. Like Kevin Nash somewhere nodding his head, very proud.
Yeah, just because there had been so little fireworks. I mean, I do feel like they had been putting in more fireworks into their shows, but the Cody Rhodes stuff put it so over the top that it was impossible not to notice.
It was just so damn funny. It was like this had to be on. And it was a funny thing was like he was on all this heel, he was on the heel stuff that he was doing AEW, but yet he getting cheered at WWE. They had a Cody clock. Like Cody Rhodes would be here to top it in 45 minutes. I'm like, what? Like he and he's the I'm like, y'all didn't even give Steve Austin this. Like they were treating Cody Rhodes like he was Hulk Hogan, and it was working. And I couldn't wrap my brain around it. I just accepted it. I'm like, how is this working? Like they treat like a big deal. The fans treat like I'm like, they love him. How? Like I could not accept it. And then I just felt like, you know what? They love him, so I'm just gonna roll. I'm just gonna accept it. It's one of those things where I had to accept what I was seeing on the screen, what my eyes were telling me. And for the longest time, I couldn't because it was unfathomable to me that what I was seeing that was actually happening.
Oh man. Yeah, it's a wild world out there now in wrestling entertainment. And yeah, there's been a couple of time periods. Well, I guess there's been nothing quite like this. There have been definitely some more positive WWE time periods during the Stunt Granny era here at this juncture.
I mean, but
But
it's just been weird because it's like I think the last one was it's kind of like when Kofi won that time frame, like the build up toward
oh.
that, and then they had a feud with Dolph Ziggler, and anybody who paid attention to history is like, if your first one of your first feuds is with Dolph Ziggler, your feud is not going to end well because. Same thing happened to Dean Ambrose and I think like two or three other champions. It's like feud with Dolph Ziggler when you first get the title. I think having a Drew McIntyre too, if I'm not mistaken, it's kind of like,
Oh.
yeah, he's no disrespect to Dolph Ziggler, but that tends to not turn out well for anybody. And when I remember when Kofi lost to Brock Lesnar, just to set up Brock Lesnar versus Cain Velasquez, that left a bad taste in my mouth.
Oh.
Oh, because I'm like, I know he was gonna have to lose sooner or later, but the way, like, it was right, it was like the, you know, SmackDown's on Fox, we're making it a big deal. He gets 5 seconds, like, if he couldn't even be competitive, like, he just gets demolished, and then Cain Velasquez come out there with that big ass knee brace, and then they have one trash ass match, and then he's gone. I'm like, this didn't serve me. No one looked better from this. The only good thing we got out of that was Brock Lesnar beating the crap out of Rey Mysterio and his son.
Almost forgot about that. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, but it's like, and then right after that, a little while later, you get the pandemic and you get the Thunderdome. It's
Oof.
like before. They had a way of having crowd noises. Watching wrestling without a crowd was just, I'm like, this is surreal. I'm surprised I ain't going insane.
Yeah, when your whole business is basically based off of a crowd reaction, not having a crowd has got to be very jarring.
Part of me want to go back and watch some of those episodes. I'm like, we actually watched this. I'm like, this does not feel. I was like, this does not feel right. This just feels very odd. But they made it work. And one thing, shout. I will say, wrap up. Shout out to Pandemic Heroes, Asuka, Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns.
Well, seems like a good place to leave that at, since we are definitely into a new era. I think we can officially brush off the pandemic slash no crowd era as we move into the Triple H era.
Triple H era. The click one. The click runs WWE. Triple H, because Shawn Michaels got a promotion. Shout out to Shawn.
Yeah, and we got Road Dogg back this week.
I guess all that begging finally paid off. He was in a whole bunch of begging.
Yeah.
It's funny how Triple H and Shawn Michaels really run WWE in real life. Wow.
Yeah. Storylines become reality, evidently, 20 years down the line. When
I wonder how Bret Hart feels. I know you don't care, but I'm like, I would feel a certain way.
Yeah, I mean, you've definitely got to feel a certain way about that.
Those pricks won, basically.
Yeah, like, even if you've buried the hatchet with them, there's still always that thing in the back of your brain that hasn't completely forgotten what hell you went through because of these idiots.
Oh, one last thing before we go. Did you watch the Edge biography?
No, I have not watched any of the biographies.
Yeah, I watched the Edge one. It was very interesting. It's kind of like three things to that. One, Bret Hart was very instrumental in Edge getting a chance. Two, they went, obviously, I know it's this whole we glamorize the grind, but that whole I'm driving 300 miles on ice to make $75 crap, like, no. I've heard that story from too many people. I've had the struggle like that, but not at that level. Let's hold. Like, I've been poor, but not like Steve Austin. I ate raw potatoes every damn day.
Yeah, there is nothing about that that when you get the old. Oh, all everyone that commentates on wrestling wanted to be a wrestler. It's just like, nah, that sounds fucking terrible. Get out of here. Just because I like the product doesn't mean I need to be involved in it.
Broken. Yeah.
I don't want to be eating ramen noodles and having to crash on someone's couch for, like, consecutive, like, for years on end. Like,
I stayed in a flop house. No, I'm like Goldberg, where it's like, I have a different job and I made money. Because even like, people make fun of The Rock and it's like, even The Rock is broke.
Oh.
I mean, and I'm like, no, I'm like Randy Orton, fuck all that. Like, broke, no. My dad's on TV. I thought everybody's daddy was on TV. That's the lifestyle that seemed glamorous to me. Not this whole, I asked my mom for my birthday $20 for gas money. Like, oh, no. They can have it. But I'm glad y'all made it. Y'all can have it. I'll let Kevin talk about his beard that he's able to afford it because he's not broke like Edge was broke.
Oh, well. That part did happen, but for very different reasons. Bell Time Beer tonight. Columbus Brewing Company. Shirtless karaoke, thankfully for Shahid, I was not shirtless during the show. Hazy, double IPA, brewed with Galaxy and Citra Cryo hops. Extremely tasty, Columbus Brewing Company, one of the first places I tried when I moved down here to Columbus, and still a very, very good brewery, and one that actually has a tap room now, and you can find their beer all over this... this state. So, oh, yeah. So, suggestion from Matt DeFrango 11. The brand is at Stunt Granted. You can download us at any number of locations, whether it's Apple, where you can rate and review us. You can download us at Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and Google. And Mr. At Philly Drugs gets to send us out of this one proper.
For Kevin DeFrango, I am Dr. Shahida Dohati, because Brick Breaker gets called a surfing doctor. So can I, and we